have the privilege and the responsibility to preach this morning before you. The God thing, okay? It's just the God thing. It's like, it's something that God has been doing. And I just would have never, ever dreamt that God would use us in a way that could be something big. And I don't say that big from, but God has just worked. I tell our folks all the time in Brazil or Mozambique, I say, I tell them, listen, God wants to use you in ways far, far, far greater than you can ever imagine if you're willing to be faithful to Him. If you're willing to be faithful to Him, God will just do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever imagine. And Jordan and I are just a simple testimony of that simple truth. And I love the truth that God does not need a different path in your life. He does not need a different path to use you in ways in the future that will be far, far, far greater than you can ever imagine or think. If you choose to give yourself to the Lord and serve Him, it's just a testimony of God's grace. 2 Corinthians, we read chapter 5. And now we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to actually cite a verse or two from that particular passage. We can maybe get the PowerPoint up. I've got a kind of an overview. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 14 to 17. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 17. I'd like to read those verses. It says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession." I know the King James is a little different in this particular phrase. We'll explain it in a minute, okay? This is from the ESV. "Who always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, and to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." Paul's perspective on missions needs to be ours. And there's four aspects of missions that Paul brings to our attention in these verses. And the first one is missions in Fond du Lac. And if I don't say the right town, I've been in a few towns. So missions in Fond du Lac, you need to put your town. If you don't come from Fond du Lac, if you come from around here, put everywhere you live, okay? Missions wherever you live. Missions in Fond du Lac starts with understanding the victory parade of Christ. And I know that the King James comes out different here, but as I was reading verse 14, this is 14a, the first part of verse 14. There's an idea here that is very special, very unique, because Paul says this: "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession." I know some say always leads us in victory, but it could be in a victory procession. Always leads us in this victory procession. And here's the idea behind this, is that Paul portrays himself as a conquered prisoner being led on display in this victory parade. Can you picture that? If you can picture old war films when the enemy has been captured and they march the enemy through the streets, bring them home and march them through the streets. They're put on what? They're put on parade. Paul is looking at himself. He knows that he was the one who was separated from God. He knew. He was remembering what God had done in his personal life to bring him to himself. How many have had the experience of Paul as he was going to Damascus and you saw a great light and you fell to the ground? That's Paul's testimony, right? But as we've shared, isn't it great to hear the testimonies of people? We could take all today and probably a little and just go one by one and listen to testimonies of people. Would that be exciting? Would that be fun? It would just be fantastic to hear the testimony. Here's Paul's testimony. He said, Christ got a hold of me, convicted me of my sin, brought me to himself, and now he's leading me in this victory procession, his victory procession. That's him. And the challenge for every one of us is to know that we have come to that place and been in that place in our own personal lives where we know that God worked in our heart and in our life, convicting us of our sin. And that means we need to have been convicted of sin. It's very easy for us to not think much of thinking that we were not that bad before we got saved. How many of you, before you trusted Christ, I wasn't really that bad? How many of you like that? It's like, you know, before I trusted Christ, I wasn't really that bad. Anybody like that? A few honest people. I don't want the rest of you. But many times we think, well, you know, I wasn't really that bad. And when I trusted Christ, I just kind of did that. And boy, God must really be smiling up there because I asked him to be my Savior. I mean, we like to put ourselves up there pretty high, and the challenge with that is, you know, pride is like kind of woven right in there. That's a very dangerous thing. Folks, we need to understand that pride thing was actually what was probably keeping us from accepting Christ in the first place. We must understand, as Paul, that we were God's enemy, Romans 5:10, but if when we were enemies, when we were enemies, we were God's enemy. And were it not for the work of God in our hearts and lives, we would have continued on being his enemy. And it was by God's grace that we came to know him. And God has used all different ways and means to bring us to himself. And maybe you grew up in a Christian home and you need to go praise God. Thank you, God, for my godly mom and my godly dad and my grandparents and the church and whatever else God used. But we need to understand, clearly understand, that it was the work of God that brought us to himself. Amen? Because if we think we had something to do with it, we were pretty good. It just puts our salvation and our appreciation for our salvation in a place that is not going to motivate us in serving Christ. Paul said, I was being led in this victory parade, and it's what God did in my life that has made the difference. And his death was not defeat, but it was the first step. When he was convicted of his sin, it was the first step in a brand new life. And so we need to understand that missions for us is not some outward profession. But missions in living out our salvation is living what we now have in Christ. And I've got this couple, just a dear, dear couple, Aduzinda and Virgilio. Aduzinda many times gets up, and we do a lot of testimony time. And when we do testimonies, everybody has to come up to the front. And the first time it's like, you know, they're kind of scared to stand up in front of everybody. We don't let anybody, nobody gets away with not coming up to the front. And I always will volunteer to say, listen, I'll hold your hand. Come on, but you got to go up front. So they're getting used to being up in front of everybody. And the first time it's always a little nerving, and the second time they're a little bit more courageous. Aduzinda says this. The old Aduzinda has been completely changed. What you see today is not the old Aduzinda. The Aduzinda that you see today is a different Aduzinda. Amen? It's because of the work after she trusted Christ and God began to change her life. And she's the one who's recognizing that the past was totally different. And what is happening in her life today, she just goes, man, we thank God for the preaching of the word, for the things we're learning, the things we're, life is now different. And that's the way it needs to be. And so, 2 Corinthians 5:15, we just got done reading it, but it says this one more time. It says that he died for all, that those who live might no longer live unto themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. That needs to be us, right? That we no longer live for who? That we no longer live for self, but we live for him who? For him, for their sake, died and was raised. And that's what Christ did for us. And so we must, if we're going to do missions personally, and missions is for all of us. If you're going to do missions, you need to have that personal testimony. If you don't have a personal testimony of a Christ work, the work that Christ did in your life today, you know what? You can have that today. Today could be the day. Maybe you've heard it a million times. You've been in this church every day since the day you were born. And that can be very dangerous, can be very detrimental because you go, oh, I've heard that. Or maybe you're hearing it maybe for the first time. I don't know. But you need to understand that you're a sinner and Christ wants to save you and take away your sin and deal with the sin problem in your life. And today you might say, yes, I know I'm a sinner. God, come into my life, save me from my sin. Second thing, missions. At home, day by day, 9 to 5, is proclaiming the sweet savor of the knowledge of Christ. The sweet savor of knowledge of Christ. And this is 14. The second half of the verse 14 always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. And so we must proclaim the sweet savor of the knowledge of him. That's what we need to be doing. And it needs to be through us. It says he was spreading the fragrance of the knowledge through who? Through us. That means us. That means every one of us, personally, individually, purposefully. Every one of us. It's not Joel Troster, who's off in Mozambique, who needs to be preaching the gospel. Missions needs to be happening right here, and it needs to be happening all over the world, but it's spread through us. Okay? It spread through us, and it needs to go everywhere, and it needs to be the sweet aroma of Christ. It needs to be spreading continually. Paul says it spreads, and it's spreading continually. Initiative needs to be taken in order for us to be preaching the gospel, no matter where it is. Neighbors need to hear the gospel. Co-laborers need to be hearing the gospel. If you go to a public school, maybe you're in a Christian school, and you have other students around you, what a great opportunity to preach the gospel. It requires a servant's heart. I don't know about you, but isn't it kind of tough and challenging to deny ourselves and get out there and work and reach out? It was exciting on... Was it Thursday night? The dinner? I mean, it was just fun, you know, racing all over and just serving Christ. And you know what? I don't know, probably didn't get to preach the gospel a whole lot, but you know what? It was exciting, racing around and trying to beat the little kids. I always had to try to race in front of the little kids because the little kids would get those plates before I would. And I go, man, get out of my way. I'm here. This is my table. You know, get out of my way. I had to fight to get those plates off because these little girls would like chase them all. You know, and just doing it. Praise God, you know, for little servants' hearts that are racing all over. You know what? That's what we need to be doing. We need to be doing those kind of things and trying to reach people for Christ. Amen? It's the gospel spreading everywhere, consistently, on an ongoing basis. But the fragrance of here in this verse, it's speaking of the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. The fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. And it's the knowledge that's going forward. It's the fragrance of what? The knowledge. It's the explanation of the gospel. It's not going to be enough just to be a nice person and say, wow, I'm just going to be a nice person. I'm just going to help people, and that's it. Evangelism is not just being a nice person. It's presumed that they're going to get the message. The gospel has got to go forth. In this verse, he's talking about the fragrance of the knowledge of who? It's the knowledge of Christ. There needs to be the preaching of the gospel along with all that we're doing. And you're looking to read the book of Titus, and everywhere it's talking about being good, doing good works. And so as your church strives to help others and reach out in the community, get involved. Get involved. Help people. We teach kids how to read in Mozambique, and we teach them math, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, trying to do a number of things to help people. Financially, we try to help people here, we try to help them there. But that's not enough. We need to do that, but we need to do far more. And it needs to be the clear preaching of the gospel. There is no clear preaching of the gospel. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 2:17, he said, "For we are not like many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." And the greatest frustration that I run into in Mozambique is that churches are claiming to help people's physical needs. Come and we will help you with your, what kind of needs? Physical needs. And they are completely ignoring the greatest need, which is what? Their spiritual needs. I mean, it's like, hello? You know, we got it. The clear preaching of the gospel, and when people hear the gospel and have a changed life, is it not sweet? Is there not cause for great rejoicing? After you trusted Christ, did your life turn for the best? Maybe it got hard, but were you excited? Yes or no? I mean, was there an inner excitement and joy and peace in your life or not? Yes or no? I trust everybody says yes. And so there's the sweet aroma of what? The knowledge of God. And in Mozambique, it is lacking. This guy's name is Nelson. We have four Nelsons in our church. This is the fourth. And so he goes by Malenza. Got very, very sick. Half or part of his heart is enlarged. Because of it, his heart does not function normally. It does not have the proper circulation of blood in going through his heart, therefore the rest of his body. Became extremely sick. Sick to the point of death. He ended up in a hospital. Believe it or not, in the state hospital, the state hospital, he actually survived. And not because of him. If you go to the hospital, you better have some really good friends, because in the hospital, they won't take care of you. The nurses aren't there to wait on you. If you don't have really good friends, you will just lay there. And so because of really great friends, they came to help him eat, and they took care of him, and they nursed him back to health, and he survived. But while he was in the hospital, flipped on the radio, flipping through some stations, came across what's called the Transworld Radio, and heard the gospel. He heard the gospel. Before this time, he didn't even believe in God and basically poo-pooed all these everything that had to do with spiritual things. Heard the gospel and trusted in Christ, and God began to work in his heart, and he began to desire to learn and grow. He got out of the hospital, went back home, and began to reach out to others who, similar to him, had been in a church. They just, little by little, were discovering that the church just wasn't preaching the Bible. He's a student of God's word. He loves to study. He's been on the internet. He's getting great information on the internet. And by God's grace, he's been sifting through a lot of trash because there's everything on there. And he begins to learn and grow and change. And he starts a Bible study in his own house, in his backyard. And this group is learning and growing. But they realized they needed a local church because they've been going to local churches and they just weren't getting fed. For 3 years, they went out looking for a church that was preaching the Word of God. Each Sunday, one church, nothing. Next church, nothing. Next church, Nothing. Next one, next one, next one, next one. Some of those that had the word Baptist, the name Baptist on them, same problem. Finally, one day, flip to next year, we got a couple more guys in the picture here. These two guys, Eduardo and Jonas. Part of the Bible study that they've been doing in his home, and struck out and showed up at our church, Iglesia Bautista Esperanza, Hope Baptist Church. And we endeavor to just preach the word. We've been going through the Gospel of Matthew, and we just try to go through the passage, expositionally preach the word, just do what we do. And they went, whoa, this was good. And they went back home, told Malenza, I think we finally found the church. He goes, nah. In Portuguese, it's nada, nada, no way. Basically saying, no way. Yes, yes, yes. He goes, I don't believe it. Well, come and see. So next Sunday, he came. After the preaching, they looked at each other and they went, they liked it. The sweet aroma of the knowledge of what? The knowledge of God. Many churches are out there, they're doing this, that, and the other thing. But when we get a hold of the knowledge of God and we understand the truths of the knowledge of God, it stirs our hearts. Amen? If your pastor's not preaching the word of God, say, hey, preach the word. I know he's preaching the word. It's been so fun to spend these days together. The more I'm here, I go, I kind of like it around here. I really like it. I think I can stick around here. I think it would be fun to be around here and just work around here. There's places that you find that, and then there's other places, well, okay. So, but isn't it exciting to get the clear preaching of the Word of God or not? Do you get fired up with the clear preaching of the Word of God? Paul was saying people need to hear the what? The clear, the sweet aroma of what? The knowledge of God. We endeavor to do it on Tuesday nights. We endeavor to do it on Wednesday nights. We endeavor to do it on Saturday nights in Mozambique. And by God's grace, this whole group that came from where Malenza lives, this whole Bible study, little by little, they've been coming our direction, little by little. And so our attendance that was ranging about 35, 40, all of a sudden growing to 45. Now all of a sudden we got 50, and we're full on Sunday mornings. And but guess what? It's a thing that what? God's doing, which is exciting. Okay, one more thing. Number three. Missions. Sweet aroma that needs to be Godward. Sweet savor, the knowledge of Christ needs to be spread everywhere. We've been there. And, okay, here we go. Sweet aroma must be Godward. It's a life pleasing to God that backs up the gospel message. Okay? It's a life that's pleasing to God. That is going to back up the message. To the one. So now, in first place, it was the fragrance of the knowledge of God, but now it's talking about our lives. Missions is the same message the world over. It needs to be tailored to the people and the culture in which we minister. But the fragrance of the message has this double effect. Two, to the one, verse 16, to one a fragrance from the death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. When we don't conform to the world, what happens? How many of you have been working in a place or live someplace, and when you are not conforming to the world, you have received some type of persecution? Raise your hand. Been there? How many of you, when you go to work, you are swimming upstream? Raise your hand. You're swimming upstream. I mean, the culture at work is anti-Christian. Lying and cheating is maybe a part of the deal. Yes or no? So when we're a light in the midst of darkness, salt in the world, it's going to have what kind of an effect? It's going to start to rub the wrong way. But it's at the same time, it's like darkness does not love light. Death unto death. But if it's light, light can lead to more light, leads to salvation. So let me just give you a little testimony. If you were here in the Sunday school hour, you heard about Adela. Adela is our neighbor right in front of our house. Trusted Christ. She missed passing one class in high school so that she could go on to a tech school, vocational school. She missed it by one class. If you flunk one class, you have to repeat the year, or you got to at least get that class done. Because she missed passing that class, she had to stay home one more year. And it was during that year, guess what? She trusted Christ. Her life began to change more and more and more, and she began to grow spiritually. And she is a blessing of blessings. She is a gem. And we love her, and she is just a servant. We just can't say enough. So the next year, she's ready to go off to school. And as she gets into school, as she follows Christ, cheating, immorality are the norm. Laziness, those three basic things are the norm. So here's Adela, a changed life. Cheating, she's not going there. Everybody else is cheating, she's not going there. So if she doesn't cheat and everybody else is cheating, how do you think they're going to feel about her? What are you doing? You got to cheat like everybody says. What's the problem here? Creates enemies. Everybody else is lazy, doesn't want to work, and here she is working away. She's very industrious. She grows up where her dad was forcing her to work, and she's very industrious and just keeps on doing it. What do you think everybody else is going to think? What are you working so hard for? Come on. You're making us look bad. Right? Immorality. Everybody's, you know, running off here, there, and she's like, no, I'm not going there. Oh, come on. Guess what? Death unto death. The conviction, she's not going there. One of her greatest enemies was the gal that's pictured beside her. Her name is Sandra. Sandra was her worst enemy because of her choosing to live in a life that was pleasing to him, a life that had a sweet savor to it. But through Adela's faithfulness over and over and over again, Sandra came to accept Christ as her Savior, saw the firmness, the reality of Adela's walk with him. That's what made the difference. The thing that makes the difference of conviction in the lives of people in Mozambique because of the animistic culture where they believe that they have to do ceremonies to please the spirits of dead relatives. All your relatives, that's what they believe they have to do. But it's been the faithfulness of our people of saying, no, we're not going to go along with these ceremonies. It's their firmness and their faithfulness that has shown it's been conviction, but at the same time, it's been light. It's been exciting to see what God's been doing. The last thing. So missions is a life that's pleasing to God. It's a sweet aroma. It's a life. It's God's word. It's pleasing to God. And if there's an area of your life, application time. If there's an area in your life that needs to be worked on, that's not pleasing to God, let's get some help. Okay? Yes? Isn't it easy? It's easy to let things go. Isn't it easy? Desha. Let it go. That's part of missions. Part of missions is a life that's pleasing to God. It's God. And the very last point. Missions is understanding our insufficiency. Verse 16. The very last phrase in verse 16 says this. Who is sufficient for these things? It's fantastic reading chapters 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians. And Paul says it over and over and over. To change lives, lives that are being changed, is the work of who? Work of the Holy Spirit. We can't change lives. As much as we try, you can do everything you can to try to change the life of someone else. Parents, this might mean even the lives of your kids. The challenge for us as parents is to not try to force transformation. It doesn't work. You can get outward transformation, but you're not going to get heart change. The only way we're going to have genuine change is to have what? Heart change. This is huge. This is big. This is parenting 101. But you know what? The principles are the same no matter how we do it. Paul understood that change in the lives of people was not up to him. He knew that if people were going to change. So missions right here in seeing Trinity Baptist grow and seeing other people come to know Christ. We need to do all that we can, and we need to use all of the gifts that God has given to us. We need to use them, but not have absolutely zero confidence in that. If God uses us, oh, praise the Lord. Right? So we need to be actively moving forward and doing all that we can. Missions is being a servant. Missions is initiative. We've got to be moving forward. We've got to take initiative in doing things that are proactive in reaching people for Christ. We can't just sit back. But the bottom line is, Paul said this, who is sufficient for these things? Should be one more. You know, Joni and I, we're just grateful for the opportunity that God's giving us in serving in Mozambique. I never dreamt that we'd end up in Mozambique. God, through our youngest daughter, when she was 15, we were in Brazil. She began to deal with anorexia. God used that to bring us home. God used that to work in our lives. God began to use that to work in our lives. And I would, initially, my whole thing is, God, work in Sharon's life. She needs to change. And she did need the change. Finally, I began to realize, you know what? God wants to change my life. And he still has a long ways to go. Believe me, I have not arrived. But folks, God wants to work in all of our lives. And he wants to change our lives. And as to change lives, God can use changed lives to work in the lives of others. But change is the work of who? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we're here today to thank you for partnering with us and to rejoice together to see the work that God's doing. We could take time and tell you the stories of so many that God is working. In their hearts and changing their lives and changing their perspective on life and changing their worldview and giving them a heart to serve him. And so missions. Understanding what Christ has done in our lives, understanding that he's the one who's worked in our life, and we need to no longer live for self. We need to preach the gospel, which is the sweet savior. We need to live a life that pleases him and then trust him to do the work. Are you serving him in this way? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. The work is your work. Reaching this world with the gospel is your work, and you have brought us to yourself and now commissioned us to take initiative to reach out to people who will never hear the gospel unless there are those who are willing to go. And God, we pray that you would start right here, and that we all right here, wherever we're at, would understand our personal need for missions. And we pray you'd raise up others that'd be willing to go, either willing to go or willing to provide and send.